You are listening to the Sworn American Sheepdogs, and today is Saturday, December 12th, 2015, and I'm Joe Sworn. Tonight we're doing an impromptu pre-recorded interview, and my mic didn't work out for me too well tonight, so I'm back to the earbuds. Sorry about the shitty recording. Anyways, let me see, I gotta get our guest in here, and we'll go from there, so... let's see. What we got here? No, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. Here we go. See you in 5 minutes. All right. How's everyone doing tonight on this Saturday evening? It's way late on the East Coast. It's the usual time here on the West Coast, but you're not hearing this right now because we're doing a pre-recorded interview. Why are we doing a pre-recorded interview? Because, frankly, baby mama's gone, and I have my baby girl that I have to, you know, keep from dying and feed and all that stuff, and entertain and do all that with, you know. So I knew that I was going to get together with my guest today, or tonight rather, but we didn't know what time. I couldn't predict, of course, when my daughter would pass out for long enough to squeeze in the recording of an interview. But as fate would have it, we got an early opportunity because one of the neighbor girls wants to play. So I was able to bring my daughter to a playdate's house so we can record this interview. Tonight, got a really cool, personally cool opportunity to go back in time with a current friend, old frenemy, and before that, a friend. So we went from friend to frenemy, back to friend. And well, there he is right there. Jackal, you there?
I'm here.
All right. Yeah, I'd usually
and that's a
do
great
a,
way to
a,
describe. That's a great way to describe our relationship.
Totally. I characterized it once before like the cartoon of the coyote and the sheepdog that, you know, would fight and whatever when we were on the clock. And then if we ever, you know, had a private discussion or whatever, it was usually after that lunch bell rang and we were sitting next to each other on the bench comparing our lunches and making no mention of the...
It's funny you mentioned that, but I always saw it more like the coyote and the roadrunner. And we're all just like traps
well,
for each other
yeah.
and bombed away, man. And nothing would ever happen.
That's another good analogy, for sure. Wow. Not much has changed in the online drama environment other than we've both continued on in our separate directions. And
correct.
And now I've got a completely different audience now. The audience to this current production is, you know, the American Patriot community, which has no shortage of infighting and scandals and everything else, if not even more. The audience well knows good and well that I came I started out in the paranormal genre, which is where I met Jackal here, and Jackal has always done multiple different platforms. So at the time
yes.
he was doing or he would have one show that would rotate around different topics. Like one night he might have a paranormal night and a celebrity paranormal guest. The next night it might have to do with sports. The night after that it might be have something to do with, you know, movies or comic books or something like that. So he was always
basically
around that.
What he's basically telling you folks is I'm ADD. And that's how I treat my shows, like ADD.
Right. We all are, man. I know I am. So
oh, for sure
I've
I have
fallen
ADD.
into the paranormal genre only because of my familiarity with a host named Art Bell and his old classic nighttime AM syndicated radio show, Coast to Coast with Art Bell, which is what I would play on my clock radio, back before the internet, back before everything, cell phones and all that. When I lay awake at night trying to sleep, I always knew that I could turn on Art Bell's broadcast, talk radio show, call-in talk radio show, on all night. Talked about UFOs, Bigfoot, chupacabras, ghosts, psychics.
Shadow people,
right? Orbs.
Yep. Orbs.
Conspiracy
time travelers.
Theories?
Yeah, conspiracy theories, yeah.
Alien / conspiracy theories every time he'd have Hoagland on to go over something crazy.
Yeah, shout out to Hoagland, yes.
Basically, he was the godfather of all of the paranormal stuff we see now, which is on mainstream media, at least with basic cable. You can tune into the Ancient Aliens and every once in a while there'll be the same people on. The funny haired guy, sir, what's his name?
Giorgio Tsoukalos.
Yeah, Giorgio Tsoukalos or whatever. He's the guy that everyone recognizes being like a
the alien memes guy. The alien memes.
The alien memes guy.
Memes.
Right.
That guy, yeah.
with the goofy hair. Exactly.
Yeah, that's him.
So that was the genre. That was the audience. It was fun, and I knew a little bit about all of that because of course, listening to Art Bell. So when I had a chance to get into broadcasting, that was the genre that I chose because basically I felt like I was already a well-versed expert with that audience. So I'm coming off of being basically a performing musician, which had its own audience, a whole group of friends, to an online, you know, radio broadcaster, but also, you know, a parent, because I had to quit being in bands, and I met a whole new group of people. This is right as Facebook is being invented. What would you say, Jackal, like 2009 at the earliest?
Well, yeah, well, I got into it about 2008, at the very end of 2008. I was transitioning from MySpace to Facebook.
Okay, right. When did you start broadcasting?
2008. It was probably like July, August 2008, around there.
Okay, the same time. Okay, so yeah, I think it was, you know, a little bit after that when I started. It might have even been into 2009. So I meet, you know, everybody who's anybody. I get, you know, I introduce myself. I call into a lot of the shows. This was back when Blog Talk Radio had its own like following. There was actually a Blog Talk Radio community.
Right.
I think it's more of a recording platform now, at least for me it is, than you know, relying on any organic listeners from there. Most of the listeners that will be listening to this show will be listening to it once it goes to, well, even if we were going live tonight, it would be then we'd have a few live listeners, but the vast majority of the people would be downloading the podcast later, like everyone does anymore. Yeah. So
right.
I meet Jackal. I meet a fella out of Arizona, had an Arizona UFO show. I met all the people that comprised my panel, met DaVinny, who we'll talk about here in a little bit as the story progresses. And there's a whole wide variety of people. But I think those were the main players as far as other broadcasters. There was the four of us. And then a bunch of just normal people that really weren't, like, I remember Anthea, remember her show? It was like After Dark or something like that. Yeah,
yep.
I liked her. She was very serious, and as you can imagine, never would delve into any of the type of content that, that Joe Sworn or Mr. E, as I went by back then, would have delved into. She was a first responder, 9/11, very military type ex-cop, and you could tell by the way she talked, right?
So,
not the kind of person that you want to tell a poop or beat off joke to, you know, necessarily.
No, definitely not.
Right. And I usually weaved one of those into every one of
my
shows.
But you did anyway,
somehow.
Yes. But you would do it anyway.
Right. So I don't remember what. There was something that triangulated. Because I went on Jackal's show, did a couple shows. He came on my show. It wasn't really even like planned. It was more like we just would call into each other's shows. We were like what could have ended up being like a little network of popular high-profile paranormal broadcasters over under the BTR banner.
Well, and remember, when I started our shows in 08, I was doing mostly stuff with a couple of my local friends and friends that I've known for years, and that wasn't anything near the paranormal stuff. I mean, it was just, you know, goofy stuff, comic booky, movie-related stuff. And then I had a car accident in late 08, terrible car accident, almost lost my life, and after that, when I started doing BTR again in early 2009 when I was recuperating, I was, you know, my friends were already busy on other stuff, so I was by myself, basically. And that's when I found the paranormal genre, and I found the Think Tank Radio with Alejandro Rojas, and
Euphonaut
Radio with Jesse Randolph.
Jesse.
And, you know, yep. And the Arizona guy you mentioned also, you know, Rich, or you found him
Giordano.
Also. So, I mean, Giordano, right. And, you know, I found these radio shows, and it really intrigued me because, like you, I'm a huge Art Bell fan. In fact, recently I've been working with Art Network, Dark Matter Radio, as a host on there. In fact, I am the lead-in show. My show is the lead-in show to Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert, Mondays and Wednesdays. Unfortunately, the last 24 hours has been just a nightmare. Art Bell's had to retire again, and if you guys don't know the story, Google it. It's all over the place. Very, very sad stuff's happening. But for the last couple of years,
this is news to me. I haven't even heard about it yet.
You haven't been keeping up with the Kardashians or the Bells, but you should, because it's really a tragic stuff what's going on with Art right now and his family. So, you know, my my heart goes out to him and his family, and hopefully everything is okay with what the situation is. But he's retiring again. The network is still going on. You know, we still have Dark Matter Digital. I'm still part of that network. I'm also part of PSN Radio, and I have you know, a lot of stuff that I have in the urn, as it say, to do. But like you, I'm a huge Art Bell fanatic, so that's really what got me into it when I had my accident, and I was just recuperating for a few months, and I had nothing else to do. I could barely walk at the time, which is crazy. You didn't even know that part. But I was there laying in bed. You know, I had, and it's funny because I had a thing to help me pee, you know, because I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself. So in between that, I was listening to radio and just, you know, just really in a terrible depression because of my situation. But you know, I persevered, and I started just listening to the radio and listening to these shows, and I got back into it. And then I was doing a couple of radio shows that Jesse heard, Jesse Randolph, and he came on to the show, and he said, "Oh, man, I like the vibe on your show, and you should do more of this paranormal stuff because you really know this genre." And I took that serious, and I started doing a couple more shows, and he came on as a guest. And then you found the show, and you came on to the chat room one day. That's how we met, because I remember you went into the chat room, and then you were like, "Oh, man, I'm doing a podcast too. You know, I'm starting my show up." I think it was like in a few days or something. And you sent me a link to your page. So I went, found the page, and started going to your shows when you were doing your shows, and called in a bunch of times. And you would come to my show, like you said, and call in. And really, it could have been a nice little community if we all, you know, learned to play along
and that happened with each other. That happened, really, it did. That happened.
It escalated
really
quickly,
fast.
Folks. It really did.
Well, no, I mean, I just everything happened fast. Okay, so I don't know if anybody remembers the night when we purposely crashed one of our satellites into the moon to do some sort of test about the. Remember that? It was like the explosion from it hitting the moon was going to. Help us determine water content or something like that in one of these craters and whatever. Anyways, that was my first show. I did live coverage of that. And I've been broadcasting ever since. The thing about it back then, and probably still now, I don't know so much now, but I can't speak on now, but back then, these guests in the paranormal genre were pretty damn easy to get to come on the air. They all had books for sale or were doing some sort of conference here or there or whatever, and they were always willing to come on. Stanton Friedman, who we've all seen on TV, he's the one with the funny beard, old guy.
Yep.
We were able to get him on, and, of course, Travis Walton was on both of our shows. He's the one that was – made famous by the story about him, the Hollywood movie called Fire in the Sky. Remember him? That abduction story?
Yeah, Fire in the Sky, yeah. In fact, by the way, it's funny because...
Of course you understand.
It's funny because, and this is, we'll show you the kind of relationship we had. When you had Travis on, I was also, by pure coincidence, because we're both fans, I had also sent Travis an email a few days before and, you know, to ask him if he could be on the show. He had replied to both of us, I think, probably around the same week, and you had him on a day or 2 days before I had him on, and I was going to schedule to have him on. Then somebody sent him either an email or a phone call telling him not to be on my show, and he backed out. He said, "I got an email or a phone call, I can't remember exactly which one, but they told me not to be on your show because you're going to make fun of me and do this and do that," and that tore me apart because that's a huge, huge name. And let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the other guy, a.k.a. my co-host on my radio show on Wednesdays, I would never would have gotten Travis on. as it turns out, he was friends with Travis. I didn't even know that at the time. But he was a friend of Travis Walton's for a couple of years. They were doing some convention stuff, and he met him. And I was talking to my friend, telling him, man, I can't believe this just happened. I just lost the opportunity to have Travis on the show because of this situation.
Dude.
And he's like, oh, I know
Travis.
That was
my fault.
I know him. I know it was. He told me.
Jackal.
I told him.
I called him.
It was a good burn. I'll give you that. Cause you hit me hard.
Said,
that was a good burn.
It was the truth, too, in a way. I said...
from a certain point of view.
Yes. I told him with the most concerned tone in my voice, Travis, listen, man, you got a lot riding on your appearances. You know, you've got a new book coming out, or a redo of the original book, plus you do all these things. I said, this guy, this Jackal guy that you're going to be on his show, yeah, he's been producing gay porn all week long. And
oh, my God, that's what you told him?
Yeah, because at the time...
See, he didn't tell me that part. He just told me that I was going to make fun of him or some crap. And
I
never mentioned the gay porn. That's
yeah,
an even better burn. Damn it.
Dude, do you want to know why I said that?
That's an epic burn.
It is. It is. And the reason why I said you were doing gay porn, because you were. What you were doing was you were producing these gay movies, and you were from just stock gay from stock.
They were
gay
not
porn
gay
footage.
Movies. Clear the audience's head.
They,
man,
okay, yeah,
exactly
yeah. Jackal,
they
did, Jackal was not.
Don't just say they're gay
the
movies.
Cause
I was not doing no gay movies. No,
Jackal was taking pre-existing gay movie clips, not that he was actually performing in the movies, but what he would do. Is he would crudely cut and paste a picture of my face and the Arizona guy's face over the two gay porn actors and let him go at it and upload it to YouTube. So he was making gay porn of me and the fucking Arizona guy. So I wasn't lying.
It wasn't really gay porn, though. Hey, so let's be honest. Yeah, it wasn't gay porn. What it was, it was pictures of a gay parade.
Gay enough to tell Travis it was gay.
One of them was a gay parade. Had a bunch of guys with really gay shirts on. They looked really happy. These guys. And so
I think
so
there's some stills.
I put
I
the
think
face
some nude
of Mr.
Stills.
E and Rich in there. There was also one.
Wow.
My favorite one though. My favorite one was the one that had you dressed as a doctor, and you had the rubber glove on, and Rich was bending over as you're about to go deep. You know what I'm saying? Cavity search.
Now, keep in mind, listeners, that the audience to this show, these weren't tuning in to spend their night listening to comedy. These are people who either believe that for some reason, periodically over their entire lives, they've been abducted by aliens, or they believe that there's something behind all these crop circles, or they all they want to talk about is goddamn Building number 7 that came crashing down on 9/11 or right after 9/11 or some conspiracy, or they want to talk about EVPs that they've recorded, or they want to hear stories about haunted houses and all that. And here's Jackal and I going at it almost. I mean, I think the falling out happened over something that we were both appearing on a third person show. And there was some drama that, yeah, the Arizona guy, the gay porn guy with me. And he was kind of like a ping pong ball because he went as the feud progressed, he bounced from side to side periodically. I think.
Oh yeah, flip flopper. Yep.
The real emotional guy too. Like you couldn't predict his emotions. Yeah, he could go off. You know, it may have been. You know, I don't know. It could be from all sorts of reasons. But anyways. So that
well, I don't
want to
take a shot at Rich. Rich is a cool dude. I mean,
from
then to now, we've completely made up, and you know, I have no issues with Rich whatsoever. So.
Dude, there's been many times where I've wished that I would, you know, and I might reach out to him. Actually, come to think of it, because I got to say that in my 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, so let's just start with 10, 11, hold on. So in my 6 years, five or six years of broadcasting, the best shows I have ever done that I have listened to, laughed out loud to, and thought were the fucking funniest. If I was to put them in my resume as the best broadcasts I've ever done, it wouldn't be with the celebrity guests. It wouldn't be that at all. It would be some of those fucking shows I did with Rich, where we were just improvising off each other and just, I mean, laughing while we're doing it, and the audience laughing even harder. To the point, you know, like you, when your stomach hurts from laughing so hard or your cheeks hurt. I mean, those kind of broadcasts. And then we had a falling out. I don't know what about. See, I've gradually drifted. I shouldn't say gradually. My content, as listeners, as you can well predict, went from serious paranormal to crude humor, pop culture, current events pretty quickly. I took the paranormal audience with me, but they soon were tuning into my show not so much to hear about paranormal, because I throw stuff in there every once in a while that was paranormal still, but pretty much it just turned into your usual current events, you know, roundtable type of panel comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
And it, that
talk
went
about
on
my
for
Sunday
years.
Show.
Right. Okay. So Jacqueline and I have a falling out, and the monkey shines begin. It was as petty as that. Now, remember, back then, BGR was a thing. Your live broadcast was a thing. Yes, it recorded the archives and all that, but people weren't fucking all over iTunes with it and all that. I mean, it wasn't nearly what it is today. So acquiring that audience during that time you were going to come on was a big deal, because that paranormal audience, you know, they would all hang out at one show. And you know what? Actually, once you got on their schedule, it didn't matter. You could go on. It didn't matter what you were talking to, because they were all going, you know, having discussions on camera in the cam rooms or in chat rooms. They all just wanted to hang out. And, you know, and so we would do stuff as petty as, ah, I see Jackal's going to go ahead and schedule a show here for 7 o'clock on Wednesday. at 6:30 on Wednesday, I'd go ahead. Huh?
No, live on air, you would do that too.
What?
Like, there's times we're on air, and you're like, oh, Jackal's scheduling a show, I see, for he's trying to broadcast next to my show. Like, you actually said that on your show a few times.
Oh, well, that would be when you were, but it would be, I was in my mind before talking about, you know, the petty tactics, where I would see that you were coming on, so I would immediately fire a show up and just, you know, try to walk all over your audience and vice versa and all that. And,
the best one was, so we were going to the chat room when I was doing the show, and you'd be like messaging people, hey, Jackal's a douchebag, whatever, leave the show, come to my show. And then like 15 people just leave the chat room. I'm like, where the fuck did you go? What happened? Where did everybody go? Okay, I go to your show, chat room, like, everybody's there just laughing. I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck that guy. I'm like, Jesus, really?
Yeah.
You're brutal, man. You were brutal. And that's where the gay pictures came out.
I learned from the best, man. I learned from the best. So then along came Vinny, who was a guest. He called in, originally called into my show, probably was like the other people that called into all the shows. But at the time, whenever anybody would call, remember, these callers were calling in to talk about a story, you know, a paranormal story. I got abducted by such and such. I'm involved with this alphabet agency. I've done this and that and the other thing. I'm a psychic, whatever. People don't just call in to say, hey, what's going on? First time caller, long time listener. I just thought I'd say hi. I hope you guys are having a good time this weekend. Let me know. I'll take my answer off the air. Okay, bye. You know, these were people that wanted to go off and tell you their whole story. So I had Davini on for like, his call turned into like 3 or 4 days. I remember it was like part one, part two, part three. And then he became a regular caller, kind of. But again, when I'm saying kind of, I'm talking about this shit was moving fast, the evolution and the escalation of all this. I don't even remember what Domini and my falling out where it was, but it happened. And so next thing I know.
Oh, it totally had to do with me. In fact, I remember the way it went down.
Was you recruited?
Well, remember, I'm trying to get you back for all the shit you were saying about me. Because even when you were on the air, you were still talking bad about me with Domini on the air. And Domini was like, well, man, you know, I don't really want to get into that. It's, you know, I'm here to talk about this esoteric mumble, you know, Kabbalah stuff. And so, you know,
Kabbalah, right?
Kind of from it, but you're like, you know, you try to hammer me once in a while. I heard the shows, man. I know exactly what happened. And so I was listening, and I'm like, I'm gonna get this Davini guy, and I'm gonna get him on my side because he seems like a cool guy. He seems like he knows this stuff. If I can turn him, it'll be a great blow to Mr. E. So I messaged him. I was like, hey, listen, I'm the guy that he's been talking trash about. Don't, you know, think that I'm that, because I really am not. And honestly, I'm really not a bad dude in general. I'm actually a pretty nice guy, I think, just being honest. But, you know, I told him, look, you know, this is how I really am, and this is just some stupid, you know, internet drama, something serious. You know, he's just taking it a little bit too serious for no reason, blah, 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 blah. He was like, oh, man, I'll totally be on your show. It's all good, man. Love and peace. I don't want to take any sides. You know, I'll be on your show or his show. It doesn't matter. If it's cool with you and it's cool with him, I'm about love and peace. So I'm like, hey,
Davini,
you know, come on my.
He was the type of personality that he looked for the opportunity to sound like the expert on something super intellectual.
That is true.
From literally hypnosis that he claims he could perform, all the way up to just being an expert on people's psychological breakdown.
But
that's interesting because in the years yeah, go ahead.
I'm saying he had a way. There was a way about the way he spoke that really carried well, and I mean, he really did, you know, a fine job as a guest. I mean, he wasn't a bad guest in that sense.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I found that the female audience couldn't stand him. I got the most hate mail from chicks. That literally, it was like, it was always the same. It was like, who is this fucking guy? Oh, I can't listen to another minute of this guy. Who the fuck is this? Talk about droning on and on. You know, it's that kind of stuff where it's like, you know, hinting to. I remember it was hinting to me to get rid of the guy or. Barry, dude, I'm telling you, dude, Jackal, there is you. If you could walk in my shoes right now for a week, you would get deja fucking vu, which is really 90% of the reason why I'm so excited to have this broadcast with you, because I'm going through the same type of shit right now with a couple other fuckers and it's different. No, it's seems like so long ago when we did our thing, and it started out petty and it ended petty. It's more serious now with the audience now. I mean, there's, you know, I'm literally getting death threats, you know, and they're coming from a couple of the trolls, not the trolls themselves, but you know, people that are buying into their shit, which actually has a lot to do with that fucking ripoff report that you guys did on me, but we'll get to that in a minute. There's more to talk about between those two, because that was the epic.
I looked at that as a checkmate myself. That was checkmate.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking good. Okay, so this thing, I was tight with the BTR people, okay, and I'm watching everyone get booted from BTR, everyone that was involved in the drama. And I was lucky enough to get Shannon from BTR to go ahead and appear on my show in the middle of this fight between Davini and I. Davini had done this huge broadcast and a bunch of YouTube videos about me and my raising negative attention about me to my audience. Just stupid.
Yeah, he really
stuff.
Went apeshit on the whole thing. He did.
There was not an ounce of it had any substance. And frankly, you can still hear all of my rebuttals. I haven't removed any of those old episodes on Strange Visitors. People can go back. All you got to do is go back and go as early into 2009 as the archives go, and you'll run right smack dabbed into that shit. And I remember I had to take a week to fucking go through all of Davini's shit that he did in one show where I took the audio and had to handle each individual thing he said. I was like, no.
He had a lot of time on his hands. That's what it was.
He did. So I had I got Shannon to come on, and we discussed the situation. And I asked, basically the questions I was asking her were along the lines of, what the fuck can I get away with here? Because I can't just go kill him. and I can't, you know, and I can't, I'm watching everyone get banned. I don't want to get banned, but I'm not going to be quiet about this, and I have a hard time controlling myself. So she gave me a full breakdown of how I was supposed to say things, and I could basically say whatever I wanted. And so I thought, okay, that got me thinking. Okay, I'm going all in with this bitch right now. Not Shannon being the bitch, but this fight between Divinity Jackal and myself. And I'm going to create a cartoon called The Fucking Fail House Show. And I'm going to create this. What I was going to do is create the making of it. I knew I'd never have the time to actually go into full on episodes and all that. But I wanted I was wanting Divinity and Jackal to believe that I was about to. And there's a couple of those videos still out there on YouTube about how I was drawing the characters and all that stuff. And then Divinity and Jackal just absolutely come out of nowhere with the claim that it was their idea and I stole it and was running with it. And so literally, here I am again. It's their word against mine. And what am I supposed to do?
You know what made that whole thing brilliant, though? Because
it was such a low blow? I don't know what.
No. Here's why they bought it and why they forced you to do all these, you know, crazy things to prove that you did it. Because when you took when you did the cartoon of us, you literally drew stuff from my bedroom, like the Tamboras and the Tupac poster and my hat and my shirt the way it looked.
Fuck yeah.
You literally took a still of and you made me grotesque. And then you made the room exactly almost the same as my room, but you made it a basement.
An unfinished basement with a rusty fridge in the background. Right.
So all I had to do was I sent a picture of my room, and I'm like, look, guys, we're doing a video show called The Fail House Show, and it's about trolls and all kinds of things. This guy he's taking our game and running with it.
Oh, man.
And then I set up a WordPress website with everything on it, and I'm like, look, this is our website. I spent all night working on the website. I made it look beautiful. I sent it to him. I was like, we got a website. We got a video up already because me and Divinity made it immediately. Put that bitch on the website. I was like, see? Look at that. That's when they went.
Now, this is back in YouTube's heyday. Again, Facebook hadn't really taken off yet. Neither had MySpace. I mean, MySpace was at the peak of its popularity, but compared to today's Facebook, it was nothing. It was peanuts.
MySpace was right, on the decline, and Facebook was starting to come up. There was no Twitter
but
yet.
But YouTube,
at this point.
YouTube was the shit. And
it was the shit.
There's a process that you go through with online videos that I forget what it stands for, but it's called the DMCA. It was an act. It was a digital video act where if somebody violates your copyrights, what you can do is simply call it in or report it, and they have to take the video down. A lot of people don't know that, folks. But you can get a YouTube video taken down if it uses your likeness and image in a non-parody way. It has to be a parody. Because you can use any image as long as you're making a meme or making fun of it. But if you try to copy it, then you're copying, quote, another artist's work, and it falls under that DMCA Act. So here we are trying to produce these videos as each other is claiming that they're copyrighted violations and blah, blah, blah. So they're going up, they're coming down, they're going up, they're coming down. And it was like a little fucking evil factory of fucking videos going up and down that had to do with that fucking fail house shit. And then
now, you know what people are, hold on. You know what people are saying right now listening to this? They're saying, man, these guys are adults. Then what are they doing with it? How are they, using their time to do this? Remember, just keep in mind.
Oh, it gets even better.
Hold on,
keep
in mind. At this point, I'm still sick, rehabbing. Okay, so I'm just chilling at home for like months. Okay, just put that in your mind.
So we've been talking. The show introduced me as Joe Sworn, which is the fake name for the host of this show. We're talking about the productions in the past of Mr. E, the Stranger, which was my fake stage host name of that show, Mr. E's Strange Visitors. That was my fucking boot camp as far as how to deal with trolls and counter trolling and how to deal with people saying shit about you and how you know, you can try to control it, you can try to fight back, but 90% of it is a waste of time, and unless you get an opportunity. You know, and that's what brings – that's what is a good way to segue into this fucking ripoff report. So these guys go and – well, I don't know who did what, but all I know is all of a sudden there's a fucking ripoff. There are four ripoff reports about me because I guess the ripoff reports have different categories. There's different categories like liars, and there's one done on me and liars. It's the same. It's the same as the other ones. Then there's one under wanted criminal, and some some bullshit about me kidnapping my girlfriend Linda, who was coming to Portland. It was something about kidnapping and me, and of course the one that everyone knows about, which is the. The classic pedo one, trolling the internet for underage girls, and maybe stalker or something like that. I don't know. There was four of them made, and when those came out, it was like, okay, all right.
I wasn't sure there were four. I was not aware there were that many.
There
was like
two. And they're still there. They're still there.
Wow.
And they've been there. I've never disputed any of them. I've never done anything with them because they were kind of like.
Stupid. Yeah.
It was like a time capsule, and it was funny. It was a prank. No one took it serious. But now, actually, it's come back because I've got a fucking troll now that's on my dick that found that shit and and my current audience has all heard. They've all seen the ripoff report. They've all been introduced to it. And there's a couple other fuckers that are still – that are now selling the idea that Joe Sworn is actually a pedophile, criminal, kidnapper, whatever else.
Let me clear the air on that real quick about the entire report.
Fuck.
Because it really is unfair, and this is one of the reasons why I decided to come forward and talk about this with you and accept it to, make a big peace and the BS that was happening, because it was stupid, it was childish, it was years ago. I didn't like the fact that people were using this as something serious. How this came
now,
about, I found
now
it
they
off
are. This just started.
Yeah, now they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I found the ripoff. All right, on the internet, and I was like, this would be a great idea to, like, prank him. And I told Vinny, like, this would be a great idea to prank him and put a bunch of stuff on there about him ripping the audience off with really bad paranormal shows. And now he talks about ass and chicks and stupid shit and never talks about the paranormal. And he's like, oh, this is brilliant. So I give him all the information. I give him the logins, everything to go and do the thing, right, because he didn't have access, I guess, to at the moment. He was doing something else. So I just didn't give it to him. And next thing I know, I'm seeing, like, two or three ripoff reports about different things. And I'm like, wait a second, we didn't talk about this. And he's like, no, but it'll be cool, man. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, dude, you can't take shit back. Like, you can't undo this. You know that, right? And he's like,
you can't. Yeah,
well,
you can't.
It, man. Yeah, and he goes, well, it's kind of true, man. I mean, Linda is kind of, being kidnapped. But I'm like, no, she's not. That's this girl. You're like, but it was, it was at a point where you had done a bunch of shit also. There was the Fail House videos. There was all kinds of shit out there. You were constantly talking about us on the radio show. And mind you, months had passed, and I had not mentioned you on the radio. Like, you can go to my archive, and I have over 200-something archives from the Jackal Club.
It goes back
to the BTR days. And you cannot find
a record. There was trolls, though. There was Mojo Joe, who I couldn't figure out.
Well,
I knew it was either you or DaVinny.
I'll leave it at that.
I couldn't rule that out at the time.
No, I understand that. But here's the thing. I really was – and I told you that. I'm not doing nothing. Leave me alone. And I really was not doing anything. I was minding my business for a while. And then you kept on going.
Dude, you've been stalking me for months.
Yeah, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go all out, and I'm going to just fucking go all out on this guy. If he's not going to leave me alone, I'm just going to hit him right back where it hurts. And then I found that ripoff report, and I was like, this will be a great tool. And then it got turned into what it got turned into. And, at first we were all like, well, he's going to laugh it off. It's nothing serious. And it's a prank. You can clearly see when you read the thing that it's meant to be, stupid and funny. It's not meant to be, like, serious.
Well,
properly, but if you're an idiot sitting out there trying to, like, fuck with somebody's integrity or their actual life, then you might want to use this and take little clips in and use it out of context. But if you don't know the history of why
happened.
This was created, if you don't know the history of why it's created, then you can believe somebody who's trying to do this to this guy. So that's why I said,
when it first surfaced recently, that was one of the arguments that came up. was, well, why didn't you have it taken down? And I said, well, first of all, you can't, but you can go in there and you can rebut it. And I'm like, well, it's been sitting there for 5 or 6 years, and, you know, no victims have come forward. I know I have a crystal clear criminal record as far as, you know, I have traffic tickets and stuff, but, you know, certainly no kidnappings or no pedo shit or anything like that. And, so
it's funny. You're just another guy who did you're just another guy in the paranormal community who got accused of pedophilia. That just happens in the paranormal community.
Yeah, you're nobody.
Shout out
the
to Stan Romanek. What's up?
I think Art Bell was accused of that at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was messed up. His kid was molested by a teacher or something like that, and the news came out that Art Bell's kid was molested, and then his trolls and haters were like, "Oh, Art Bell molested his kid." It's complete bullshit.
Oh, I don't remember.
Art
I don't remember the details.
Yeah.
I just remember there was something to do with that. Yeah, that's fucked up, man. Yeah, there's reality tied to that story, though, it sounds like, as far as his kid being victimized.
Yeah, you know, Art's been through a lot. I really feel for him. I know he's going through his retirement now and stuff, but he's really gone through a lot in his life. So he's a great guy, and I hope he just, you know, finds comfort and peace with his family.
Well, yeah, that ripoff report was the fucking gift that kept on giving, that's for sure. As a matter of fact, it came up with my baby's mother when we first started dating, who I met through the old show, just, you know, kind of like Linda. But and her mom had Googled me and found that. And so, you know, I mean, you Google Mr. E the Stranger or whatever, you're going to get pages and pages of all sorts of shows, guest appearances, comedy, some supernatural shit, some paranormal shit and all that. And then if you keep digging, you'll find that ripoff report. It's still there.
Now,
it's
here's
there
the thing. When
right now.
When we were talking on the phone and you told me that your, you know, even your wife and her family looked at this thing, that's when it hit me. And I was like, I definitely got to do this radio show with you and just clear the air.
And I appreciate that. Her mom, all it did is it gave us a real kind of an awkward moment. But fortunately, she had known, my girl now, she knew about all this and was able to, you know, explain it all, you know, before I even was entered into the conversation. Still, it was an awkward moment for me. There's no doubt about that.
It's
never come up in any other way till recently. Yeah, so I logged into Facebook to that old Strange Visitors, one of my old Strange Visitors accounts to do some maintenance, some routine type stuff I do with the old accounts that I'm not really logging into that often anymore. And Facebook had recommended you as my friend. And I looked at it. And I'm like, no, that can't be. And I opened it and I rummaged around. It was one of your current productions. And I put two and two together. But all it took was a couple of clicks before I got to a photo of you. And I'm like, that's him. Yep, fuck it.
That's the fat guy right there. That's him.
And so I called you. And then that's when started talking again after all the years of that. But yeah, it's been a funny thing. That particular one, I gotta say, the one that hurt the most was when she was on the air that night. Yeah, I didn't. It bothered me when Linda's kid was on because I could tell how much it hurt Linda, and that affected me. But the one that deeply cut me, I mean deeply, was when Sandy was on there. That was awful.
See, the thing is with that show, the reason you probably thought it was two separate episodes is because I did the entire first hour, and it was only like supposed to be an hour show with Linda's kid.
Yeah.
And when the show was ending, that's when she calls in. So I immediately, because then you could do some BTR, can go in and schedule another show right after. Back then you could. I don't know if you could do it now. So I immediately was like, hold on, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to schedule another show. So we went and did another hour with her, and it was like two episodes basically.
Then. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, she told me she was going to send you nudes, too.
Oh, she did.
That ever happened? Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now you know why I left.
Yeah, she's all right.
Anyways. Yeah, she's all right. Kind of. Nothing. I mean, whatever. That's hurtful. She went on YouTube, though. She deserves it. Yeah. Nah, there's been some drama with that whole thing, anyways.
She's a lovely lady.
Yeah, she's a real peach.
She is.
Yeah.
But you know, but look, for everybody listening in, anybody who's out there who is confused or doubts the validity of this, I am really the jackal. I'm really the guy who is involved in this beef with Mr. E, Joe Sworn, Todd Anderson, whatever he calls himself. This is all legit. Okay, the reason I am here is because I didn't want this ripoff report, you know, to linger on and continue. When it was never meant to be that, right? Somebody else did that with. Really, without even my consent, because I did write up some stuff, but it had nothing to do with the stuff that ended up. Like, some of it is mine, very minute stuff in there, and I just gave mostly ideas, and then I get, like, all these different reports. So what ended up on there is not even what was supposed to be completely on there. It was supposed to be a gag, a joke, nothing more, nothing, you know, nothing really serious or to do what they're doing to you now. So if you're listening in, let this be the nail in the coffin for that. That is not a real report. No, that was real. Period.
I appreciate that, Jackal. I really do. The way I looked at it was it would have been the same as, like, today, like we do with memes, if you would have made a really funny meme. Or those fucking
Correct.
Those gay
yeah.
porn videos of me and Rich doing
that
type of shit.
That point,
that
we all
was
stopped.
Good, dude. The rip-off, the rip-off report was great, too. All that stuff was perfect. It was those were good maneuvers. I've never came at you with charges, you know, of slander or anything like that. We never took it to that level because it was just so,
right.
You know, listen, if any of you out there are thinking about doing a broadcast or you want to be high profile on the internet or whatever, you're going to get trolls. You're going to meet trolls. People are going to say shit about
yep.
you. And at
yep.
least now you can find out the truth. And so, you know, there's a way to look into that kind of stuff. But, that's what happens. That's what happens is you get into these struggles every once in a while. But
that's the thing, though. Where these kind of shows that we do, especially the stuff you're doing now, you're going to get fringe people that, you know, are just, you know, a little bit wacky. And you're going to get those people that are just love attacking people and they live for that shit. If you're anybody who wants to get into broadcasting on the internet, first of all, you have to have a very thick skin. Very, very thick skin. You have to let people just say whatever they're going to say on YouTube or wherever it is you post your stuff and not even look at the comments, not even interact with them, just do your shows. Just do what you want to do, just whatever it is, the topic or the genre, just do the shows. Worry about focusing on making your show great, and don't worry about the audience because you will get trolls. And that's what
mm-hmm.
I learned hard.
It was fun, though.
Oh, it was. But you know what was more fun, though? The growth afterwards. Because once, you know, that rip-off report stuff, and I was even like, man, that was a little far, even I thought so. And once that happened, and then, you know, the Fail House stuff just ended, and I was like, well, he's not doing any episodes of the Fail House, so I'm not going to, you know, counter with anything, because if he's not saying anything about me, I ain't going to say shit about him. So for a long time, there was nothing being said. And then one day he popped up with a video of Davini where you were jerking off, pretending not really jerking off, but you're like jerking off, playing video games while he's talking in the background. And I looked at it and I'm like, this motherfucker, this is funny as shit. And you're just going off. And, you know,
wait.
And I got
to
admit, it was
right there.
That was great editing. That showed skills, man. I got props.
Oh, I was taking a chance while you're telling that story to take another bite of my Pop-Tart. But,
You value your life.
Yeah.
Good job.
what I do is I follow my daughter.
At least it's not a Hot Pocket. At least it's not a Hot Pocket.
I eat all of the things that Madison takes a bite out of and doesn't eat the rest of. That was a Pop-Tart with two bites or three bites out of it. It's just sitting there on the counter. So I just saw it there. I'm like, huh. I'm going to escape into this love of food right now while you're mentioning me beating off in a video. So, Davini, and this actually, I'll post this video up. I'll put the link in the show description for the funny YouTube video. It was basically a re-video to Davini, and Davini is one of Davini's long-winded blank screen. He wouldn't show his face on video. it was just a fucking black screen, but his long-winded dissertation about Mr. E, and so. I created a re-video where I was just going to be like, it starts out and it's kind of over my shoulder with my desk and my screens in front of me, as if you were standing over my shoulder kind of behind me at eye level with me sitting down. And I you can see the side of my face and all that, and my arm and my feet, and because I put my feet up on the desk. It was like, okay, Devaney, I'm going to listen to your video and give it my full attention and respond to it in a legitimate, straightforward way, okay? And I start his video, and then I start gaming on the other screen, and then that fades away, and it comes back in and says, you know, later. And then it's I'm watching a movie. It's like the 300 movie. And then it's still later. It faded out, and then it came back in, and you see my feet up on the desk, and it's blurred out like I'm jacking off. There's, like, tissues there's tissues and, like, lotion on the desk, and then it fades
clearly
out.
Clearly he was
back
jerking
on,
off,
back.
Yes.
No, but you can see that my pants were pulled down around my ankles, and my feet were bobbing up and down like I was. I'll post the video. It was funny. The funny part about it was I didn't really edit DaVinci's voice. He's just rambling on the whole time. So when it goes quiet and it does the fade outs and you hear him talking, this went on for a long time. Yeah, that was an epic video. It really
was. Honestly, that was one of the funniest videos you made, to be honest with you. I laughed hard when I saw that video. Like, I haven't laughed that hard in a long time when I saw that video. Because I know DaVinci and I know how he talks, and I'm like, this is too perfect.
That had to piss him off. That had to piss him off because he want at the time. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about where he is or who he is now or whatever. I'm imagining that he's drifted off into obscurity, but this guy really, really, really wanted to be taken serious, and he was someone that you just absolutely could not take serious because he was so douchey. And he was you think of a douchebag and you think of like a fitness guy with a fake and baked tan and a fucking chin strap beard, you know, wearing like $100 jeans and that kind of douchebag. This wasn't that kind of douchebag. This was the kind of douchebag who, if you took that douchebaggery and crammed it into a dork or a nerd, that's what you ended up with. So you had a guy who thought he should be super important and really wanted to be taken serious, but you couldn't take him serious because of his I really can't even explain it. It was just so
He was a bizarre guy because there were times that, you know, when we were end our beef and as we were not doing anything towards each other, he would, like, go away also and not talk to me for, like, weeks. And then he would come back. And this happened a couple times before the ripoff report. Actually, it happened once and then right after. And he would come back, and the first thing he would say is, like, so is Mr. E fucking with you again? Huh? And then he would start egging on, like, little side beef to try to start beef again. And I'm like, dude, why are you even – no, just leave it alone, man. And he's like, no, man, fuck that. And he would put, like, a Mojo Joe video out. And I'm like, why are you doing this stuff, man? Just leave it alone. And then you thought it was me, and next thing you know, I'm getting attacked. And I'm like, God damn, I didn't do shit. And here I am getting attacked again. And then I had great tactical backup because I had so many people that liked the show that I was doing or were friends of mine because I'm very approachable on the show. And I like to, you know, engage with the audience. So I had a lot of folks that became friendly with me. And it turns out a few of them had talents, like musical talents. And they started doing, like, videos, music videos, talking about you in the videos. And one girl did some singing in one of the songs called the Toad Song, which was very funny, the Toad Song. And it was funny. Like, I was getting so much help from everybody else. I was just sitting back, not doing anything. And I was getting blamed for everything. I was like, I was taking the full brunt of everybody's work. And I had done nothing at all.
You spearheaded it in the beginning, and then what you did was you created like
a community.
You created like a wave, and then all you had to do was surf the wave after that.
Yeah. I created the coalition against Mr. E. That's what it was.
That's right. Now, I've even heard that before, or like that there was a website made to stop Mr. E or Todd Anderson, one or the other. I don't know.
Your personality. You know, and in fact, I think DaVinci put that link on the ripoff report. It's in there somewhere. He created that link. That was his website he created.
It's dead now. Actually, what it was... Oh, no. I checkmated his ass. I checkmated DaVinci's ass. That's right.
Well, twice. There was one time when you called his mom.
Okay, so this was the ultimate. Oh, yeah, I talked to his mom. That's all part of the same story. So this is really what it boils down to. DaVinci wanted to be taken serious, like I said. He wanted to be official. But he was obviously piss poor broke and didn't pay at the time the extra $20 a year to keep your GoDaddy fucking domain registered privately. And when you don't register your domains privately, you have to give three sets of contact information. One, just for the website. Second, for any tech support. And I forget what the third one would be for some sort of the webmaster or something. I know there are three.
Right.
If you look it up under Who Is, it will list those things. And nowadays, of course, everyone lists their shit private because you just pay a yearly amount and the shit goes private. And most of the shit will say GoDaddy, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Well, DaVinny, who I won't say his real name, it was all three of those numbers were to his office, which was at his mom's house.
/ mom's house.
So, yeah. So I called his mom, did a little investigative journalism, and was asked, see, because what had happened, what I should say about his website was, again, because he's too cheap to have created a separate website, he just created an HTML page with all my shit, bought the domain for it, and then just forwarded the domain to some back page on his site. You can see right across the URL, it was his website, but then it was like / and then some weird thing that you couldn't, there was no links to it or anything. It was just a URL in the back end of his website. But if you had the link,
so now,
it would take you there.
Now, for everybody listening, now you understand, you're going to understand why he put all this stuff in the ripoff report, because of this phone call to his mother. And I'll clue you in on why it was so, like, messed up that he actually spoke to his mom. The lady had mental problems. She was on heavy medication.
Ooh, I didn't know about that.
Yes.
All I know is that
very badly mentally messed up.
I dropped his docs on the air. I said, I pulled everything up on the air. I said, okay, so there's this web page about me, the Stop Todd Anderson or whatever. I remember his graphic was a still out of the old not Zapruder footage, the classic Zapruder, that's JFK. It was the classic Bigfoot footage, you know, from the 70s, where he's like walking across with the woods in the background. He looks to the camera. You know that the very first Bigfoot footage that anyone ever saw?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, what's that footage called? Do you know offhand? Do you remember?
Yeah, don't really recall.
It's
really
a classic Bigfoot footage. Everyone alive has seen it. Anyways, it had that, and once again, my face crudely cut out of something and pasted onto Bigfoot's face. And that was the fucking page. Well, so I said, okay, so, and there was outrage about what was going on. Now, I think you're wrong, though, Jackal, about the timing of it, because it was mentioned in the ripoff report, that address, that website. So that's what led me to go to the website, and so I looked up the network solution Who Is information on that website, which came after the ripoff report, and I said, so this page says this, this,
no,
and this
no, no,
about
no, no, no.
me.
No, it was definitely before. You got actually his name, not from that page. You probably saw it on that page also. But remember, he had the Kabbalah page. That's where you got the information originally from. It was his Divinity Kabbalah page. Because he had the same
exact
name.
It was based off of that Stop Todd Anderson page.
Right.
That was tucked away in his Kabbalah site. That's what it was. Yeah, that's right, dude. He had that fucking that spiritual enlightenment kind of guru type of
that's
a Kabbalah page.
After the ripoff reports where you saw Todd Anderson and you're like, oh, what the hell is this? And then you went to Todd Anderson page right on the Kabbalah page.
I had been to his Kabbalah page, you know, before. I'd seen it. It wasn't that detailed. That's why I recognized it when it was that Stop Todd Anderson thing, and I saw that it was on that fucking website and tucked in back in. At the time, I was a web designer also, so it wasn't really that hard to recognize. And so I whoized it. Who is the domain to it, and it came up as you know, for their technical support. So I encourage anybody that wanted to dispute what he was saying about me to go ahead and contact his offices and I said the address, and it was actually his fucking address. That's the thing about it. Listen, folks, if you're going to be a jackass or a wannabe journalist or anything like that, and And what you are doing is out of your home, and you have, like, all your business sent to a P.O. box or whatever, you still have an office. And you're still producing your shit from a headquarters. And if that's grandma's basement, chances are it's going to get flushed out and someone's going to come find you in your grandma's basement and want an interview. And that's really what it boiled down to. And then that was it. I never heard from him again. So it was definitely after the ripoff report, because I wouldn't have known about it otherwise. I wouldn't have had a reason to announce that technical support address.
No, I'm pretty sure it was right before it, dude.
Well, it couldn't have been.
Sure,
like I'm saying, it was like I saw the ripoff report. It had that link to that new web page that was made about me, and I wouldn't have. That's how I found out about that page. Yeah.
I don't know. No, I know you found out about that page on the ripoff report. That I know for a fact.
Yeah.
But you had called his mom before that ripoff page, and that's the reason why he went at you so hard.
I had
because you already at that
call
at that point.
Well,
you already contacted
his mom. I didn't know it was his mom. No, because so I got his mom's number off of the Network Solutions thing. It was his mom's, sick, according to you, mother, was listed as the technical contact for his website. That's how I got the number. I called it, and his old lady answers the phone. And I said, is this DeVinny's office? No. And I'm like, well, do you know, boop. And she says, that's my son. And the conversation was really short. I didn't do anything with her. It was just, it was a very short conversation. And all I did was introduce myself, told her why I was calling, and sorry to waste her time. And I quickly got off the phone with her. There was no discussion between her and I other than that she said that he lives across the street in one of her other houses and she started actually complaining about him, saying that she wished he would bring his kids over more often because she never sees them unless they're playing in the front yard or blah, because their houses were across the street from each other, I guess. I don't know. It was more along the lines of me backing out of the fucking conversation once I realized it after I'd explained who I was, why I was calling, and that it was immediately not the kind of conversation I thought I would be having.
Well, according to what DeVinny said, supposedly you told her that the authorities were after DeVinny for his online behavior.
Oh, no. That's a lie. No. See, that goes back to the BTR thing. You're never going to hear me ever on the air stating opinion as fact. So if I say something on the air, I can back it up. And that's one thing the BTR told me I better be prepared to do. So you better believe that if you hear me say something that quotes somebody or I state it as a fact, then I will have the proof to back it up. Otherwise, I need to tell you that it's only my opinion and that, it's something I think or that I thought of or whatever, that it's not an actual fact. So I don't know. What would be really curious is to go back and to listen or at least look at the old archives and the timing of it and all that. Because I know – I mean, some of it was done on the Toad Show, though. That was a different broadcast I was doing simultaneously. Some of those response episodes that I did dedicated to DeVinny, I don't think I did at Strange Visitors. I think I did that over at the Toad Show.
No, it was because that's why some of the songs that came out talking to you as a Toad. You know, going at you.
Okay,
all
right. Yeah, the Toad Show was a broadcast that I did that was it really had no paranormal at all. It was just, straight up comedy. Yeah, it was just entertainment. Yeah. Shit! Wow, good times, man. That's a long time ago. I'm glad that you came on the air. I got to wrap this up because I'm getting word that it's time to go get my daughter. So I want to thank you so much for setting the record straight. Thank you for I enjoyed this having you on, and
good
I thank
time.
You for that. But particularly from a fucking dealing with bullshit right now, I want to thank you for setting the record straight on that ripoff report because that's what's fucking with me right now. But having said that, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. I'd love to come be on your show. What is it, Sunday night or whatever it is? Don't know
yeah,
if I can.
Yeah, we're doing a show tomorrow.
Tomorrow
night.
Yeah, if I can, I'll tell you in the morning if I can or not. Otherwise, maybe the week after that, and we can pick this up where we left off or whatever. But Jackal, dude, wow, what a history between us, huh? You got any final words?
You know, just again to reiterate, you know, it's funny what his, you know, what life brings you and what happens in you know years that's passed since we you know went on a little beef. But it's funny to speak to you and to be on the show. Is you know it's really cool and thank you for having me on the show. Not only you know to shoot the shit and we and catch up and laugh a little bit, but really to clear the air on something that I thought was unfair and unjust. And I myself have gone through like similar things with other people in the last few years where they've brought up stuff that is fake and they've put it out there, and I know how it feels, so I didn't want you to continue with that, you know, hanging over you. It's just, it's not a fair thing. So, you know,
I
really
you know,
wanted to clear the air. So, I wanted to really clear
the
air.
I do appreciate
just, you know,
that. Like you said, you can't be a broadcaster and not have thick skin, but that doesn't mean that some of the shit is, oh, let's just say that it would be nice if I didn't have to fucking deal with that shit recently with a couple of my new trolls. And I didn't mean that to sound neutral. Because these people are definitely not neutral.
No. We can officially do this on the show now. Bygones, you know, we're cool with each other, man. You know, I'm sorry for all this shit that happened. I'm sure you're sorry. You don't have to say it, but if you are, you are. You know, I'm sorry that it went that way.
No, I am.
But you know what? In a way, it's cool because, you know, it happened. It's history. It's past. You know, we show the audience who's listening in that, hey, you know what, we're grown-ups, and we can move past the petty bullshit and just, you know, and break bread with each other and talk, you know, like normal people, you know. This is,
right.
You know, real life. You know what I mean? And you got to take this as what it is. Life is short. Enjoy your life.
It
don't
is.
Take
and,
all this
and,
shit
and,
serious.
You know? Right. And my broadcasting, though, right now, the new format, the new audience, I mean, I do a lot of joking and all, but it is definitely a serious – It deals with serious content, and I do appreciate it. You setting the record straight on that, because there are some people out there that I'm sure, you know, kind of know me or kind of know of me, but hear some rumors, and it would be nice to be able to just drop the link for this show right into wherever I'm being discussed and say, okay, fucktard, listen to this, you know, or whatever. I really appreciate it, Jackal. And hey, if you talk to Rich. Dude, tell him to Facebook me at Joe Sworn, and we'll catch up. I'd love to do one of these with him, man. He's fucking funny. I mean, he's a comic, straight up. I mean,
you know, at the end of the day, what we all need to do is get you, me, Rich, and Jesse, and Alejandro, just get everybody on one show and just go all buck wild, man.
Giordano and Jesse had a beef, but during all
that's still good. You know, it's
Jesse,
funny. Here's the thing. That's what kind of started the whole thing with Rich, because we're in a chat room, and I brought Jesse in. They were going to make peace with each other, and Jesse really was in the chat room and really was there in audio and everything, and he was ready to talk to Rich. They talked on chat. He apologized for whatever happened in the past, that there was a misunderstanding between them, and Rich apologized for his part of it, and they made peace. 2 days later, I get Rich saying, oh, no. This is all a setup. Somebody set me up, and G told me that I was being set up. And you know what I'm gonna do?
That's
and this is the show.
That was his wife at the time. G was his wife at the time. Yeah.
And he did an entire broadcast where you and I were listening. This is the funniest part. We missed this in the story. Where you and I were listening while on your show.
We were simulcasting it. We were simulcasting.
Right.
We were called into
his show and listening. Through your show was the craziest idea, but it worked. And then we're just waiting,
we were,
and Rich is going on and on.
Yes. We were broadcasting live off of my platform, but I had called into his show, and it was also broadcasting his show on my show. But it had Jackal and my commentary going the whole time.
the whole time, we were like, man, Rich is crazy. What the hell is he doing? What the fuck? Why is he saying these things? Like, is he going to trash you? Is he going to trash me? Because he wasn't very literal at the name yet. He was, you know, just setting up the stage of who he's going to talk about and what's been happening to him and fake friends and all this stuff. And then he mentions my name, and you and I are like, what the fuck? I haven't done shit to this dude. Like, I've been friends with him. You know, this is a real thing. Jesse really did say sorry. Jesse really was there with him. And he thought that it was fake. So when we get on the air, and this is like, it was classic, you know, backslap. We get on the air, and Rich is like, airing me on. And I'm like, dude, I have no idea, you know, who told you this stuff. And then you're like, yeah, you know, Rich is right about you, man. And you're like completely flipped on me. I'm like, what? what, are you serious? And then, like, at the end of the conversation, I was like, you know what, Richmond, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I don't want any more part of this, man. Peace, I'm out of here. And I just hung up the phone, peace. And then it escalated from there quickly. That's how it really all, like, springboarded from there.
Wow.
And then the rip-off report happened months later.
Oh, dude, I still got to go. We could keep going like this for a long time. Dude, Jackal, it's great to have you back on my fucking cell phone list and to be able to talk to you. And we've had a couple pretty funny conversations leading up to this broadcast. But I can tell right now we're going to have a lot more fun here moving forward. And hopefully I can get a hold of Rich, too, and we can do something similar. Or go on his show or go on your show or whatever. I'd be more than happy to come on and have a good time. As long as it's something I know a little bit about, I can usually...
You're always welcome to come on the show and shoot the show with us, man. You're welcome on the show.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in the future when I actually air this. I'm probably going to air this in about a half hour. And we'll go from there. I didn't have time. Like I said, I mean, I don't have to I didn't know when my baby was going to go to sleep or that she was going to go over to the neighbors and play. So I got to go get her, and now I can do post-production shit, and I'll air it live, and that'll be good. All right, man, I'll get you the link, too. Thanks, Jackal.
Sweet.
All right, man. Talk to you guys later.
Night, everybody.
Check this out, Mom. I can save $200 on a Microsoft Surface 3 tablet when I get a Lumia smartphone on AT&T Next.
$200? For a college student like you, this is bigger than microwavable noodles.
Whoa. Slow down, Mom.
Save $200 on a Microsoft Surface 3 when bundled with any Lumia smartphone on AT&T Next. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Limited time offer select locations includes Microsoft Surface 3 64GB only. Microsoft Surface 3 requires 2-year agreement. Must activate wireless service on both devices. Early termination, activation, or upgrade and other fees, charges, and restrictions apply. See a participating store for offer details.